Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Donald Trump has entered a not guilty plea at his arraignment on charges of trying to defraud the U.S. government. It's part of an historic second federal indictment against the former president. CBS's Scott McFarland was one of the few correspondents in that courtroom.
Donald Trump leaned right into the microphone on the rectangular table in front of him and pleaded not guilty to these four felony counts accusing him of seeking to overturn the 2020 election, which he lost.
The whole thing took less than an hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Attorney Alina Haba called the proceedings a sham.
This is not a coincidence. This is election interference at its finest against the leading candidate right now for president. For either party.
And she called the indictment both unprecedented and un-American.
President Trump is under siege in a way that we have never seen before.
Trump's next court appearance has been set for August 28th. Two active duty U.S. Navy sailors stationed in Southern California have been arrested on spying charges. Assistant Attorney General of National Security Matthew Olson says they gave sensitive information to China.
The charges demonstrate the PRC's determination to obtain information that is critical to our national defense by any means, so it could be used to their advantage.
The Pittsburgh synagogue shooter was sentenced to death today. Audrey Glockman is a member of the Tree of Life congregation and says the justice system worked here.
He has no remorse for what he did, and he hasn't been rehabilitated in 4.5 years. He's not likely to be.
She hid in a closet as he gunned down 11 people. Mexican authorities have recovered two bodies in the Rio Grande near that controversial buoy barrier.
Texas Department of Public Safety Director Colonel Steve McCross says that person drowned upstream and floated into the buoys. The U.S. Department of Justice filed suit last month calling for Texas to remove the buoys, saying they're unlawful, present serious risk to public safety, and interfere with the Fed's duties. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Ukraine says Russia's latest attacks are brutal, but they're dominating.
Day 526 and Ukraine's capital again the mark for Russian drones. Air Defense Forces said they destroyed nearly 15 of them in an overnight attack stretching across 3 hours.
That's CBS's Remy Innocencio. Where my girls, Lizzo's calling out sensationalized stories and is denying allegations of a scathing lawsuit filed by her former backup dancers. They claim Lizzo created a toxic work environment that included fat shaming and all kinds of harassment. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 66 points today. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wendy's is open till midnight or later, so you can give in to the craving and go night mode. Now all of your favorite menu items just got their bedtime extended. You can get what you want even later, like the Baconator with 6 strips of bacon or the perfect fries and frosty duo. If you're up later, then so are we. So go ahead and pull through the drive-thru. When the craving hits, go night mode at Wendy's. Open till midnight or later. All right, see ya later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. we have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. Help Smile Train change the world one smile at a time. Learn more at smiletrain.org/learn.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises. Yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down and you only get...
What is up, Wisconsin? Welcome to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman at 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Oh, I'm so jacked up right now, Danielle.
What? Like I'm from Mountain Dew? All jacked up in Mountain Dew?
Well, I did have Mountain Dew and potato Olays. Right back to childhood. The potato Olay is the quintessentially best fried potato of any kind you will ever eat, seconded only by the potato cake from Arby's, which few people even know about.
No.
It doesn't even exist in most people's brains. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
The only thing that exists in people's brains about Arby's is their Frosties. That's all that matters.
Oh, come on. That cheese they put on the sliced roast beef?
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's not actually cheese.
The only thing I get from Arby's is the Frosty. That's it.
You're just going to ignore the curly fry?
Yes, I am going to ignore.
Chase Baker's talking already. This is so weird. It's the first session and he's... Calvin, you turned his mic on already? My Lord. Hey, again, welcome to the show, Chase Baker. What's interesting about Chase is that he owns this company called Grit, which is videography for the outdoors, hunting, fishing, outdoor lifestyle in the state of Wisconsin. And he's not only is he an award-winning photojournalist, but his stuff is so great. I mean, it evokes emotion. It really captures the outdoors. And we were just talking before the show about the difference of, you know, shooting video or recording a hunt versus having a hunt recorded or filmed or whatever the word you want to use. We don't really use film anymore, so it's technically recording it. Chase, welcome to the show, but it's going to take just a minute because I got a lot on my mind, Danielle.
Do you?
I do. First of all...
I have to set up on live from my Facebook, too.
Did you forget? Were you a little sloppy today?
I did. I procrastinated a little bit.
Danielle and I took...
It was the potato olé.
Danielle and I took promo photos today out in the woods. And it looked like we're out in, you know, the swamp in the marsh in the fall, but it was 127 degrees Kelvin. Not Kelvin out there. So I was sweating.
Is that only
like
because
butcher.
You were wearing a hooded sweater with a vest with your goose calls?
Yes, but
and
do you
shorts.
Understand that those
shorts.
Are all and in camouflage? They're all very trimming on me. So I want to put my best foot forward, and I don't want. And why do you think
why
I have
did you
this
have to
camera
put the vest
on the Facebook
on?
Live? Just like chest and higher, because then it doesn't show my dad.
Because
belly.
That's the way it's positioned. Hey, dad bods are in.
Okay, save that. That's just an excuse for
not
me
grandpa
being
bod.
Fat. Okay.
I didn't call you a grandpa.
Danielle, right off the bat, she's lost it. Calvin, she's lost it in here, bro. You might have to save me.
It's been a while since I've
it's
had
been, hey, well, pleasure.
Yeah,
welcome
we've missed you, Calvin. We love Anastasia. Calvin. We do miss
Anastasia's
you, too, though.
Anastasia's great, but it's nice to see you again. Calvin's producing the show from the booth. We're in the Fishbowl, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Stop on by and say hey if you'd like to. But I get so I'm on the way here. I'm talking to Robin Kennedy, the Kennedy clan.
Dude.
What?
Okay, you should have spotted this because you're a camera dude. I didn't even hit live. We're not even live. I'm just on here.
Okay, well, if Danielle's going to get her live feed up here, do we need to take a moment for you, Danielle? Some of us try to be prepared for
Why
the show,
isn't it
Danielle.
Live?
And
that's Andrew.
Robin brings
oh,
up.
Oh, shush your face. Oh, we're fighting already. We're fighting.
Robin
fighting.
Brings up the show Love Connection. Are you guys old enough to remember the show Love Connection with Chuck Woolery?
No.
So
no.
They've got all these shows on TV now for, they call it love, but really they're just wacky. And
Love
all,
is Blind.
They're kind of gross, actually, a lot of these
love
shows.
Island.
Like The Bachelor and Bachelorette, Love Island.
I do not watch any of those.
I get angry
at them.
I get angry at them, too, because I think to myself that if there's any way not to find a real mate, it's to go on one of those shows, I feel like.
This is very true.
Did you know that there's an ultimate fighting version of this? Like, Conor McGregor lives, like, they each have teams. I forget the other guy, but, you know, Chad Mendez, who works for the provider, we get to deal with. He's one of the best ultimate fighters in the world. Evidently, they live in a house together, and then they pit these people against each other in, like, bare-knuckle cage matches. And
it's not bare-knuckle.
What is it?
Oh, get him, Calvin. Get him.
Calvin chimes in. What is it?
It's MMA, so, I mean, they wear gloves, but it's, like, wrestling, boxing, all combined.
Do you watch this show, Calvin?
I don't watch the show. I am a fan of the league, though. It's this show kind of serves as a...
Look at that. Whole new
like,
side.
The show serves to like find prospects for the UFC, and it gets a little wacky. Conor's a little bit of a clown, but...
Is it kind of a little bit like take out the romantic element of it? Is it kind of like these reality dating shows? Like they pit each other against each other? And...
Yeah, it's like Big Brother or Survivor or any of those kind of shows. They all live in a house, and they definitely... edit it in a way to increase the drama and that kind of thing. But the fights are all real and stuff.
Holy cow. Anyway, I thought that was fascinating because Aiden Kennedy, our new hunter who we've had on the show and who we took out for the first time to hunt, who just bought his first gun, got his first gun for his birthday last week.
Wow.
I mean, this is what, Chase, oh, we got stuff to talk about with you. This is one of the quintessentially most exciting things for me is taking somebody who doesn't have that outdoor experience and pulling them into it. Mm-hmm. And you get to do that through videography, through video, through storytelling. Because a good videographer in the outdoors is a storyteller first and foremost, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, especially when it comes to somebody's first hunt, first experience to that, you know, as the videographer, you're really not trying to play an active role in the hunt. You're trying to be kind of a passive observer to it, but you're trying to capture what it felt like in those first moments. You know, I've been on a couple of learn to hunts where, you know, somebody is getting ready to pull up the shotgun and you can see their fingers trembling on the safety and then they're getting ready to pull up and make that first shot. And then when they do finally connect and they get that first duck, you know, you're trying to get the camera up close on them, get the expression on their face. And when they first lay hands on a bird and they pull that wing out and see the speculum feathers all lit up in that early morning sun. I mean, it takes you back to your first hunts and some of, you know, your first harvests. And you get to kind of relive those first moments with somebody. It's pretty awesome.
And I can tell you're a storyteller because even the way you just described that tells me that when you're looking through a lens, look, these days, everybody's got a camera everywhere they go. I mean, when I grew up, you had to, stop. You guys stop at the photo mat. You guys over there, stop at the photo mat. We're going to get a disposable camera for the party.
What?
Yeah.
The photo mat?
What? A photo mat. They used to have these little kiosks in the middle of parking lots where you took your film to get developed. And it was a major, massive advancement that they started having disposable film cameras. And so you'd stop at the photo mat or the Walgreens, and you'd buy these disposable cameras to take with you to a night at a bonfire or a party. Yep. And you would take, this was long before the selfie. It was long before the selfie.
Well, I'm sure they
had selfies.
It might
have been the invention of the selfie with those holding up that disposable camera.
I think that probably is true to a large extent. And then you would take these pictures, but now everybody's got a camera with them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a video camera with them. And this phone, this 3x7, these evil 3x7s everyone's addicted to, they have got like 1080p HD cameras on them now
for
video.
And you can edit right on the phone.
And you can edit right on the
phone. Publish. Yeah.
And so screenshot and send it. Done.
Part of the problem is everybody now thinks they're a videographer. Everybody thinks they are this or that. And some of the stuff they whip together, and now there's programs like BeatLeap. You just put a bunch of video in it. It does it for you even.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think photography with the camera is slowly dying out?
No. It's kind of interesting with photo and video, everybody having access to it, you know, really nobody has an excuse not to be a photographer, videographer, right? Everybody has access. You can't say, well, I don't have the tools to do it. It really, you know, it's kind of in the same way, like if you look at like NASCAR, all the cars are pretty similarly equipped. You know, nobody's car is really that much faster than the other. It all comes down to the driver, right?
Yep.
How fast they're going to make it around. And it really is becoming kind of leveled when it comes to photography, videography, that, you know, buying that $50,000 RED camera, that doesn't necessarily make you a filmmaker, right? And you can even find some stuff on YouTube where guys go head to head. They take an iPhone and pit it against $100,000 cinema cameras, and
they put it
in the hands of a beginner, and the storytelling falls flat. And it's like, just because the image quality is there doesn't mean the rest of it is compelling. And that's really, I think, Joel, where the difference lies is, can you create an image that tells a story, that makes you interested in what was going on? Can you put together an edit that tells something in a way that I haven't seen before? And that, to me, that's really where the artistry lies.
I know, I saw on Facebook how you went to school and everything for this. What started? Okay.
Yeah, but
first
before
question.
You say that, before he answers that question, that's a good question. You hit it on the head. Taking video and editing it together does not make a good story. Storytelling makes a good story. And the basis for every single occupation, the basis for being good at any occupation, is being able to write. If you can write, and I don't mean like literally put it down, but if you can write and tell a story, that's the basis for what video is going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. So on Facebook, it says you went to school for this. You went to WCTC, or what was it?
Yeah, so I went to WCTC. I did their 2-year program.
Okay.
And then I transferred over to the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design and did their 4-year program.
Schmancy.
So my background is actually in graphic design, but there's a lot of the same tools. And I took a digital certificate when I was at WCTC. And then at MIAT, I put kind of an emphasis in photography and art direction.
Okay, forgive me. Graphic design and photography, to me, I don't know the difference.
Okay, no, that's fine. Digital photography is more about optics, lighting, lighting the shot, composing the shot. There's a little bit of overlap in that graphic designers typically use a good amount of Photoshop. A digital photographer is going to also use Photoshop to manipulate the image. But when you make the transition into graphic design, it's not as much about the story, and it's more about messaging on behalf of usually a business, maybe a cause.
That makes sense.
So, you know, if you're putting together motion graphics for a banner ad, or you're putting together graphics for a T-shirt or a poster, it's not so much about expressing your story. You're trying to get a message to an audience, and it's largely commercially based then.
That definitely makes sense.
And we're already at the first break. We got Chase Baker, excellent videographer, Danielle Fairman. I'm Joel Clayfish, and a country boy can survive in the state of Wisconsin with all the resources we have. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. Start your classes and get your degree right here, or transfer to your 4-year.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here. In person at 4 convenient campuses, online or a hybrid.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here for your Career Accelerator Certificate, a quick way to get ahead in your career.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Get started at mstc.edu.
Mid-State Technical College. You belong here.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a slight chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 62. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 86. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 91.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Day. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 82 degrees.
I think that's all the small things, right?
Yeah.
Small things, truth care, truth brings.
Who sings this song, Danielle?
I do. Shush your face.
Welcome back, Wisconsin, to Race and Disco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside me with Danielle Fairman and Chase Baker from Grit. Did you come up with Grit yourself?
Yep.
And yeah, because people don't. Well, I want to get into something that I think a lot of people don't understand. First off, tell me what's interesting to me. You're a hunter.
Yep.
Obviously. Yeah. How do you go? Because I know many people who are actual storytellers, videographers, who like the editing process. They say that the actual shooting video, recording a hunt, is as satisfying as pulling the trigger. How did you go from pulling the trigger to pressing the record button?
Yeah, it was a pretty seamless transition for me. I got a job working in the outdoor industry, doing a lot of design stuff first, and then it was kind of faking hunt scenes to promote product in, you need a bow hanging on a hook in a tree stand type of scenario. So you're kind of putting together the hunts without actually going out on the hunt. So then to kind of take that next step into, okay, we're going to actually film a whitetail hunt or a waterfowl hunt, that was a pretty seamless transition. But what was kind of interesting is you're still going to put in all the legwork that everybody else puts in. You know, if you're out on a spot and stalk hunt, you're going to put in just as many miles as everybody else, but you're going to do it with 40 pounds of camera gear on your back and try to keep up.
I feel like you have to be more secluded because you have a lens and you have the ones that could shine and scare the turkeys out of the tree, right out of the
Yeah,
roost.
You have to really
I feel
have
like
a,
that would be more tricky than actually going out there with a gun and shooting.
You almost have to have a sixth sense and be able to kind of predict what's going to happen. Where do you think the ducks are going to come in from? Where do you think the turkey might come into the field? Can I hide myself from that angle? But I still have to be very exposed toward the subject. If I'm trying to capture someone's face, I can only conceal so much of the camera and actually still be able to get them in focus, be able to see that my exposure is good. And, you know, if you're real hidden, you're not going to get the really nice shot. So you've got to kind of predict what's the angle of the sun, what's the angle of the wind, where are the animals hopefully going to come from, and what can I do to kind of conceal myself from that. And some of that will also come down to what type of hunt you're filming. Sometimes it's a more of a casual format where the hunt is the priority, and the priority isn't so much the film. And if it comes down to it, you're going to stay hidden if the hunters have to leave you. You know, I was on a turkey hunt pretty recently where they were doing a Reaper style, and I ran out of cover. There was no more bushes for me to hide behind with the camera. And so it's like, well.
Which is the very nature of a Reaper style.
Right. So it's either I stay here and maybe we get it on film. If they're out of range, they're out of range. Or I come with you and maybe I bust the hunt.
Yeah.
Right. And so you got to kind of weigh that out then. And it ultimately comes down to who you're hunting with, what's really their goal. It was more of a casual thing and it was going to be somebody's first turkey. So I'm like, you know what? Aww. I'll stay back in the brush. I'll try to get it. If I don't, oh well.
So did you get it?
They got the bird. I didn't get the shot. Yeah.
And I'll tell you that what you just explained is the ultimate dilemma of video for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shot Kill It, Clean It, Cook It. That was on the air for 13 years, and I essentially shot that almost all myself. So I was out there not only shooting the video camera, but also shooting the gun.
Man, that's a lot to think about.
And also trying to record as you go. And that question, you don't realize it, and it's a little probably less in waterfowl hunting where you might have more than one chance to get mm-hmm. some decent video. But when you are out there and you've got your camera trained on something, but you're at the same time calling and watching the bird and you want to take that ethical shot, and you got to make sure that the camera's lined up on the spot that the animal is, you're guessing the animal's going to be when the shot is taken. I think a lot of people who watch video kind of underestimate the difficulty and the choices that have to be made on the spot when you're out there, because everybody knows the best camouflage is not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is completely contraindicated to shooting the best video, because in shooting the best video, you are moving to
right.
the spot that gives you the vantage of the best camera shot.
Not only that, you're moving while you're shooting. You know, you're going to reach up and zoom the lens in on the quarry. You're going to pull out wide and you're going to pan over to somebody to get their face. You know, on a bow hunt, you might be able to be pretty steady on it. But yeah, if you're on the ground on a tripod or you're on a shoulder rig, you're moving the camera around to get the different shots. It's pretty rare that you have an opportunity to run a multi-camera setup on, you know, any kind of hunt where something has good vision, turkeys, waterfowl. I mean, to run multiple cameras, that's pretty tough. You're usually on one camera trying to shoot to your left, shoot to your right.
Everything other than human beings has great vision. Honest to God, I've tried to shoot video of carp shooting, and I swear those suckers are looking through the water at you.
Oh, they see a draw.
There's Joel.
Say cheese, don't swim away.
Why is he wearing safety green?
Oh, I swear I've had carp jump the string on me.
Yeah, no joke. I'm not even kidding about it. What's your favorite thing to shoot video? What's your favorite thing to hunt versus what's your favorite thing to shoot video of?
Oh, man. Well, my favorite thing to hunt, I mean, that's pretty easy. That's waterfowl for me. I mean, nothing nice. Gets my blood pumping like the wings whistling, you know, on those first rays of daylight. Yep, that is just the tops for me. As far as, you know, to film, it's probably a tie between upland and ducks. I mean, ducks is kind of... Yeah, so the nice thing with upland is it's rather predictable.
With a pointer, it is. If it's a flusher,
well,
it's way tougher.
But you know the direction that the dogs are going to work for the most part, because the hunters are going to work the field from one end to another.
Yep.
Everybody's kind of moving that way. Whereas, you know, if you're trying to set up for a turkey hunt and, you know, you're going to try to work them from the roost, you're going out to the edge of the woods listening for a gobble, and then you're going to try to race to cover and figure out which angle you're going to point stuff. Yeah. Upland is way more open. There's not as many lighting issues to deal with. Like you said, you might have stuff with pointers going on, and it's very repeatable. There's likely going to be multiple flushes throughout a hunt. So in terms
of
just
easy, predictable stuff that you can just position
and
be ready.
You know, you have great color in the grasses. You have all kinds of texture and stuff there. So just it lends itself to good aesthetics.
Huh.
Well, we're going to carry ourselves home, like all the small things, and we're going to go to break already. When we come back, Chase Baker is going to talk to us about what the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo holds coming out of this break. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. We'll be right back.
Locally Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Air conditioner not running? Make a call to the bullpen for the experts at Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We'll work quickly and efficiently to get your AC back up and running. As a Bryant Factory authorized dealer, our team will do whatever it takes to repair the problem quickly and efficiently. We'll get your system out of its slump and back in the game.
Need a repair? Schedule it now at comfortair.biz. That's comfortair.biz.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. Go to loveshriners.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a slight chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 62. Northeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 86. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 91.
Alongside Daniel Fairman, Chase Baker from Grit, video masterman. I love the
fact. I'm a little mosh pitting myself.
That was Slayer bringing us into the break. And that, what that reminds me of, I have a friend of mine, Amy Stefik. She owns a company called Puck Hockey. She actually listens to the show from Michigan.
Not only are we
in 13 stations throughout the state of Wisconsin now, but we've got people across the borders listening to us. But she runs a company called Puck Hockey, PUCKHCKY.com. And they have like jerseys and hockey jerseys, sweatshirts, and all the stuff for all of these bands, including the band Slayer. We love to mix it up coming back. So check that out if you're into some of the heavy stuff like Motorhead and like I said, Slayer.
That's all I can think of. I don't really into that hard stuff. Or I'm into this moment.
I'm a Michael Jackson fan, but I love metal too. It really gets me in like a pumping mood. If I'm on my way,
just wanna fight somebody.
I love country music too. But if I'm on my way, you know, to the duck blind or somewhere in the morning, I'll play a little Anthrax to get me jacked up, get me fired up.
Yeah.
Those fast chords, the double bass, you know, so it's good stuff. But hey, anyway, thanks for listening. If you're listening today, Amy, who is also a fan, by the way, of the Panzerotta.
Ooh, is not a fan of the Panzerotta?
I know. We were just talking about it during the break. If you've never had a Panzerotta from Jimmy's Grotto in Waukesha, my rule, one desert island, one food, rest of my life.
Say the Panzerotta.
It would be the Panzerotta.
What? Why?
I feel like the Panzerotta.
I feel like you would die immediately.
What a Panzerotta. Well, if you're on a desert island by yourself, I mean, really, I think all bets are off.
It's like I'm taking a tomahawk steak.
Every meal.
Oh, yeah.
Every meal a tomahawk steak. See, I could do a Panzerotta every meal. I really could.
I could do one a year.
If you don't know what a Panzerotta is, it's this glorious. Like, it's like, first of all, start with a pizza, basically. Whatever you like in a pizza is what's inside of it. And then wrap it in this most amazing doughy creation that gets deep fried and becomes like this flaky goodness of golden sweet crustiness. Oh, my gosh. I love food.
That kind of reminds me of, what is the dish that's kind of like that, but up in the UP?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They have them in England a lot. No, they're not called poo-poos, Danielle.
Pasties. Pasties, there we go.
Yes, pasties. Those are like a British creation, but they're nothing like a pasty.
I'd much rather have a pasty than a panza. Do not look at me with those eyes.
Calvin, can you shut her mic off for the rest of the show? She just said she prefers pasties to panzerottas.
Yes, because all I think about with panzerottas is grease just seeping out of my pores.
They're not that greasy.
They're so greasy.
Well, that's part of the joy of it.
It is part of the joy. Here's the thing. The hangover cure.
When I was in college, I worked at a place called Wild Pizza at Pepperdine University. It was one of my jobs, right? And so I'm in there, and I'm thinking, how can I recreate the panzerotta? So I took pizzas, and I would fold them in half and curl the edges and then deep fry them.
Makes sense.
Now, they were pretty good. A 6 out of 10. A panzerotta is a 10 out of 10. It really is. So we started selling these things. Like, you could order a pizza, or you could order, like, I think we called them, like, Wild Pockets or something like that. I don't know, something stupid.
Hot Pockets.
But it wasn't Hot Pockets, Danielle. You're showing your generational age right there.
Calzone.
It's like a deep-fried calzone, but it's totally different. It's just got flaky crust. It's way better.
It's like, guess I'm talking about food. We're talking about grit.
What? The show is about food very often. Very often the show is about food. And that's, I actually want to talk to you.
This is what happens. You can chime in with your panza. Do you prefer
a panza or a
pasty?
Panzerottas. I mean, born and raised in Waukesha County. You have to go with the Panzerotta.
Danielle, you are co-host of a show on WAUK.
Yeah.
There is nothing more quintessentially Waukesha than a Panzerotta.
This is true. Or Taco John's.
But Joel, I will say, awesome if that's your desert island food,
what is your desert island?
That's your calorie count for like the week on a Panzerotta. Like, you can live forever on that one Panzerotta.
I'm going to tell you why I disagree.
Ooh.
Which, by the way, everyone on Gilligan's Island should have been fat because they were eating coconut cream pie with every meal. Okay, I just want to point that out. But here's why I disagree with you. When you eat a Panzerotta, Everyone who eats one is visiting the bathroom within about 20 or 30 minutes. So I think those are free calories.
Go Rod City.
Right, Calvin? Even Calvin's laughing today.
That is a solid argument.
He's like, so I think those are free calories because when you eat them within 20 minutes, those calories mysteriously leave your body.
Now I'm thirsty.
What does that have to do
with it? I don't know. I feel like that's all going out of me. I need replenishing. Now I need water.
Now you want a Panzerotti. No, you probably don't. You want a pasty. Well, good luck. Drive to Iron County then. It's about this close. Although there's a pasty shop in Madison that's pretty good. Miles Teddy Wedgers, it's called.
Teddy Wedgers?
Yeah, that's what they call the pasties there. Okay. Nobody can disagree that we have fun. We have so much fun on the show. Chase Baker, I don't think people have any idea how much actual work goes into someone's life if they say everybody wants to be, oh, I work in the outdoors, or I get paid to, I'm an outdoors professional. I get paid to do work in the outdoors. I'm 52 years old. I've worked my entire life to build a few things in which I get paid some money to do some things in the outdoors. And I love it. It's exciting. It's a part of the repertoire that helps me pay bills and try to send my kids to college, right? But I don't think the average person appreciates the amount of work that goes in if you're trying to make a career in the outdoor industry.
Oh, absolutely. It's very romanticized, you know, from the outside to have this idea that you're kind of this outdoor, free spirit, free wielding, get to kind of, you know, take the day as you wish and kind of do whatever with it. Man, it's really not that when that becomes kind of your 9 to 5. It's a bit of a grind.
It's not 9 to 5, first of all.
No, not at all. It replaces your 9 to 5 so that you can work 7 days a week all the time, right?
Right.
You give up that 9 to 5 so that you don't have any free time at all, really.
Sounds thrilling.
I mean, it really is because that's my passion. Yep. This is what I would be doing in my free time anyway, so... To kind of make that the job is a natural extension for me. But yeah, there's a lot of prep work that goes into it that I think a lot of people don't anticipate or realize.
Like don't eat a Panza the night before?
Yeah, don't eat a Panza. I mean, if you're talking like really close to the hunt, yeah, you have to worry about your nutrition. You might have to eat some apples and some salad and, you know, work down a couple of Gatorades throughout the evening so that your body is ready for that 15 hours of grind with 40 or 50 pounds of kit on your back. And, you know, there's no, oh, hey, guys, let's pause here. I'm going to eat quick. Like, if that's not, you know, if your subject is not on that schedule, you just have to keep right on rolling. And you might be waist deep in the mud in the marsh. You might be 20 feet up a tree. You have to roll with it. But, you know, what I think is really overlooked on the prep side is the amount of gear preparation that goes into everything. For me to make it through one 8 to 12 hour day, I'm going to be charging somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 dozen batteries.
Dang.
You need batteries for your monitor. You need batteries for gimbals, batteries for drones. Most of them don't take the same battery either. So
of course,
you're running all these different chargers.
Cord.
You're trying to make sure you have enough memory cards, you know, to account for everything. So you're cleaning all the dust off your camera sensors, off all the inside and outside of all of your lenses. You're trying to account for, okay, what could happen? Do I need a rain sleeve for my pack because we might get rained on? You got to plan for every eventuality, and then try to get it into something that you can manage on your back to run around with. And I mean, you're going to spend at least 2 days prepping before a shoot, and that's to say nothing of, you know, scripting, planning, you know, what the story is going to be, how you're going to tell that story. I mean, that's a whole nother beast.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Chris Inda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
We welcome you back here inside Witterfield. Well, the rain and the storm has passed. Sunny skies in front of us, and hopefully that's the case for the Raptors. They are in front this game 3-2 as we return to the top of the third inning. So reminding you, Fond du Lac got a two-run shot to start this one off. Top of the first, Parker Knoll belts a ball into center field. And then Aiden Brewer, a solo home run, and then Brendan Bobo made history with a solo shot of his own. And then David Smigelski, a one-run RBI double in the second to bring home Gifford. So we're here in the top of the third. Graydon West will lead off as Antrovitz back on the mound once more and throws a ball up on the inside at a fastball 1-0. So three hits for the Raptors in comparison to one for Fond du Lac. As the 1-0 here from Antrovitz fouled off right side. Two teams sitting only a half game back of Madison right now. That Madison currently leads over Wausau 6-3 in the top of the fifth. But Wausau and has equaled the amount of hits for Madison, so they're coming right now. So that game is far from over. So a ball and a strike here for Antrovitz in the 1-1. And down low on a curve, had a ball 2-1. He's had two strikeouts, 39 pitches, has allowed a hit and two runs. But really one swing of the bat has been the difference for him having a no-hitter so far. Antrovitz will set in again. The 2-1 and a swing and a liner over to Brewer. Fields it up on a short hop. Has all the time in the world. And the shortstop makes the play. As going down is Graydon West. So top of the order now with Paul Whitman, who walked his first time up. So Brewer gets it on a short hop and does his job. So one down. As Antrovitz will look in once more and sets and throws at a ball this time, 1-0. So 1-0 count. One gone. Three hits in comparison to one. Raptors in front. Has fouled off left field side, and that goes off the top of the grandstand back into place. Smigelski caught that. So catching a little ricochet there, but a two-ball count here with Paul Whitman. Got home on that Parker Knoll home run. And a ball and a strike. Antrovitz nearing his 43rd pinch. And the question is, who will come in after him? And the 1-1 a check swing on the inside, and there's a ball, 2-1. So two balls a strike with one down. One hit for the Dock Spiders, still yet to add to that. They were held scoreless in the top of the second. Two balls a strike, one gone, and a 2-1 from Antrovitz. And a swing and a ball pulled out, fouled away. Left field onto the concourse. And for strike 2-2. Whitman from Tigerheim, Germany. One of two internationals in this lineup for Fond du Lac. So two balls, two strikes to 2-2 from Antrovitz, and a swing and a bouncer over to Bobo, shifted away from the bag and racing towards it and tags it before Whitman can get there. So Brendan Bobo not only is now the Northwoods League home run leader, he can also get it done on the defensive side of the ball. Two down. So Jake Serrain flew out to right his first time up at the plate. He's 0-1. One away. Antrovitz here on the first pitch. Turns, kicks, and fires. And foul off bottom side of the bat for Serrain. Out of Lincolnshire, Illinois. 29 RBIs, 0-1 today, 43 hits as well. Went 0-3 with a run yesterday. Was walked twice and struck out. Two down. And the 0-1. And a curveball paints the zone this time, 0-2. So no balls, two strikes. No action yet in the bullpen for Wisconsin Rapids. Light slowly starting to turn on here at Witter Field. And the 0-2 to Serain, and a swing and a liner up the middle. Charging towards it is Brewer, shifts onto his left, jumps up and throws to Bobo, but just not in the nick of time. Aiden Brewer almost got it to Bobo, which would have been an acrobatic play from the shortstop. But there's the second hit. And this comes to Jake Serain. He'll take first. Parker Knoll, a two-run home run into center field, his first time up at the plate. So Knoll couldn't have started better. And the left fielder out of Lawrence University. Answer it sets in and throws a little bit high on a breaking ball up above the left corner, 1-0. So Serain at first. Rafters in front 3-2. They've also out-hit the Dockspiders 3-2. So teams capitalizing off their hits as a swing and a low-line ball into the glove of Lordoy. And he makes the third out. We head to the bottom of the third. So one hit from Serain, but it doesn't matter. We'll step away. Rafters in front 3-2. We'll be back in a moment here on WFHR.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Let's face it, mornings are tough. We could all use a little pick-me-up. The answer? El Cafe in Port Edwards. Not only will the atmosphere and friendly staff at El Cafe give you a boost, but their breakfast will knock your socks off. Enjoy one of their great daily breakfast specials, sure to satisfy, or really kick it up with their fish tacos and spicy salsa. Life's too short to have another boring breakfast. Get up, get going, and get to El Cafe in beautiful Port Edwards right next to the police station. Start your day with a kick at El Cafe.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Bottom of the third inning, Aiden Brewer will lead off for the Rafters. A solo home run into left center field, his first time up. As Wisconsin Rapids in front 3-2. So Jacob Young will go to work once more, 38 pitches. He's allowed three hits, three runs, a walk, and no strikeouts yet for the right-hander out of Fairmont State, and sets in and throws up on a breaking ball at 69. Paints the right side of the zone, 0-1. So Brewer 1-for-1, acquiring his second home run of the season. His first was on Sunday, where he hit a two-run shot into right center. No balls, two strikes, no and two count. Out of UNC Greensboro from Dexter, Michigan. And Setson Young throws up above the zone at a ball, 1-2. A ball, two strikes, three runs for Brewer. A guy prior to today batting a 160, but has started to come on. He'll see a 1-2 ball low in the dirt. 2-2. So no action in the bullpen for either side. We'll see if they stick with Jacob Young. Has walked a batter, three hits, three runs. Hasn't recorded a strikeout yet. A guy that has 23 of them on the season. A 2-2 to Brewer, and inside, and there's strike three. Aiden Brewer disagrees with that, but it just paints off the left corner. And now Brendan Bobo is due up. So Young records his first strikeout, and Bobo And not a guy that now has cemented himself in the history books forever. 29 home runs, an all-time league leader. So one down. And Bobo sees a ball outside at a first pitch out and away. And a breaking ball at 74. Now to 12 home runs. He had 17 last year. 44 RBIs, 41 hits. Now to Santa Cruz, California. And the 1-0 low bounces in the dirt. And the left-handed batter's box, 2-0. So 2-0 is the count. Rafters with at least a run in their first two innings. And one down. Two balls, no strikes. Young now with a strikeout. Has also had a walk as well. He'll set in and fire in a swing and a hard hit ground ball shifted off over to his left with Serain. Unable to get that ball, goes underneath his glove. And Bobo does his job. Back-to-back hits for him. So Bobo to first. And Orlando Lordoy popped out to the shortstop. Drew Berrigan. Serain darted over to his left. And that ball went under his glove. So two away. And a 2-0 count. Near bottom of the third. Orlando Lordoy. A 244 batter. 9 RBIs, 11 hits. And Young will deliver. Up above the left corner at a ball that time. 1-0. So 1-0 count. Bobo at first with a base hit in the right field. Young, the 1-0, swing and a miss. Lordoy jabbed at that ball on the left edge. Young nearing his 49th pitch. Only in the bottom of the third. And Bobo stands at first. And the 1-1 to Lordoy. And a kind of a jam shot in the left field. Fouled away. 1-2. Went right into the hands of a stand who was able to make that catch. So Levi Jensen is the acting first base coach. And Brian Dyer at third. Well, one down. Young on the middle of the slab of the 1-2. And Lordoy, a liner into right center field. Bobo on his way to third. Runners at the corners. And Wisconsin Rapids in business once more. So Lordoy with a base hit, his first of the day. Bobo at third, and here come the Rafters once more. Anthony Gallison flew out to right. Gallison 0 for 1. Has really started to swing the bat a lot better. 16 RBIs for him. So Jacob Young remains on the mound. Near one gone. 38 hits for Gallison. Out of Colts Neck, New Jersey. Young goes to work and a swing and a bouncer that goes into the glove of Young. Looks at third and now throws to first. And he gets Gallison two down. So heads up play there from Jacob Young. Lordoy gets the second. So now two in scoring position. So James Bornick now grounded out to second. Out of Marion University. Has had an RBI. Heads up play there from Jacob Young. Two in scoring position, has given up 5 hits. Rafters looking to build on this lead. Lordoy at second, Bobo 90 feet away at third. And he'll set in and throw outside at a ball 1-0. Rafters 16-15 at home this season. They've been very shaky to say the least. Fond du Lac has taken 2 here at Witterfield, and there's a curveball down the plate on Bornick, 1-1. But I'll tell you where Fond du Lac really struggles is at home against the Rafters. Rafters lead the Dock Spiders at Herb Acre Field 4-1. Their last time they won was back in the first week of the season where a swing and a miss down low, 1-2. A ball, two strikes, two down. Lordoy at second. Bobo stands at third. Five hits for the Rafters in comparison to the Dock Spiders, two. Pornick, the left-hander. Four hits for him. Looking to make it number five. He grounded out to second his first time up. And Young, the 1-2. Bornick just fouls it off the top side of the bat into the netting. So Bornick out of Marion and from Green Bay, Wisconsin, came into the team just about this past week. Has had a good start, though, nonetheless, a 364 batter. Four hits on 11 at-bats, and the 1-2 fouled up on a slow-moving breaking ball. Back at the backtrack. So Fond du Lac looking to just remain in a one-run ball game. And would be, if they close out Bornick, would be the first time they've held the Rafters scoreless this game. Only have played 2 2/3 inning, but still. The 1-2, and Bornick swings, and a hard ground ball over to Serene, who fields it up in the toss-over.